everything that's in the word deals with process. So you just got to keep coming back to that, that it's all about a flow. And of course, things have to be set out in a linear way because it's a text. But there are things happening here that are simultaneous. So what you have is you have the last focus, which is on Moses and Midian. So there's what's going on there. And that has to do with those higher principles coming into contact with what is simple good. Simple good and simple truths. So you have this establishment of first principles on the most exterior level, which is going on and is represented by Moses and what's happening with Reuel. And because that is what's being established and it's moved into a more of an unconscious sort of workings that are going on, because our focus now is here where a king has died, like Pharaoh, the Pharaoh has died. So the ruling falsity has been weakened and is no longer holding power. And so those things that come under it, all the falsities that are built up in support of that, are also starting to loosen now. And this is the groaning that occurs, because the groaning only can happen because there's a realization that one is oppressed. So there's a rising consciousness of the condition and the state, and that is what's loosening things. So what is happening here, and then this describes the logopraxis process, if you like, is that first principles have to be established before what is of the word, before the real things of the word, which are represented by the sons of Israel and are what the spirits of Mercury are focused on. The real things have to be extracted from out of Egypt, which are the sensuous things that hold them bound. I mean, you could read that as the relationship of the letter of the text to what sits just within, behind it. You can also relate it to our own understanding of things, how what is real has to be extracted from the sensory aspects, the appearances that we've taken to be real, etc., which aren't actually real things. They are the appearances of truth. And so you have this preparation represented by the spirits of Mercury going on, whereby what is real can be prepared to be extracted. And of course, when the first principles come after the revelation of, you know, and this is the next reading coming up at least, is the name of the Lord, you know, I am that I am. So there's the manifestation of who the Lord is, and that sets the conditions for the breaking of the Egyptian hold over what is of a spiritual quality represented by the sons of Israel. So I just wanted to emphasize that so that we can have a real sense that, again, that it's all describing our process, and that as we engage with the text, it unfolds the process in us, or it gets us to see the Lord operating as the word within our mind, because that is what the process is, and that is the Lord himself at work in us. So these are powerful things here, and this is why the text is so important, because it provides the vessels that the Lord as the word, more interior aspect of the word, can join with. That's the covenant. That's the real covenant, right? That the Lord covenants with what is of himself in us. So the Lord never actually conjoins with us as we are in ourselves. He conjoins with what is of himself in us, and we get what is of him in us from the word, from engaging with the word. And that conjunction is given to us as if it is our own. So in my work around this, I came to, it's Divine Providence 219 to 222. So that deals with the Lord's conjoining, or how eternal things are what the Lord conjoins with, and how that finite things look to separate, but eternal things look to conjoin. It's only a few pages, so if you get a chance, it's worth having a look at just to expand our idea of what covenant is about.